Today we come to Matthew chapter 9. We have Bibles that are in front of you if you prefer a hard copy, a paper copy. We also will have it on the screen. We're in Matthew chapter 9 today. And as you guys are turning your Bibles there, I just want to remind you guys that the way that we've been going through the book of Matthew, especially the past few weeks, is that we're looking at a more macro picture of what the writer of the book of Matthew was trying to convey through the stories that he brings up. And in Matthew chapter 8 and 9, it's a series of miracles that are going on, three sets of miracles, and within each set there are about three miracles. In today's set, there's 3/4 miracles that happen, and with each set, there's a kind of message that is coming out that Matthew's wanting to point to. And between each set, there is the idea of we need to follow Jesus Christ. We need to follow him. And Jesus says, follow me. And so in the first set of miracles that we saw, the first three miracles that we saw, Jesus was talking about the kingdom. This is what the kingdom is about. There's a new life with the kingdom. There's a new hope in the kingdom. And he was declaring what the kingdom was about. And then in the second set of miracles, what he was conveying is, look, Jesus is greater than any natural thing in this world. Jesus is more powerful than any supernatural thing in this world. And in fact, Jesus himself has the authority to forgive sins. Jesus himself is God. And now today we come to the third set of miracles. And the title of today's message is Spreading His Fame. And it's really interesting as we look through the passage, try to see if you could see the idea of how people are beginning to spread his fame, right? And that's what we're going to be talking about today. So let's look at Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 18. This is the reading of God's word. While he was saying these things to them, behold, a ruler came in and knelt before him, saying, my daughter has just died. But come and lay your hand on her, and she will live. And Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples. And behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. For she said to herself, if I only touch his garment, I will be made well. Jesus turned and seeing her, he said, take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well. And instantly the woman was made well. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand. And the girl arose. And the report of this went through all that district. And as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, have mercy on us, son of David. When he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it done to you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, see that no one knows about it. But they went away and spread his fame through all that district. As they were going away, behold, a demon-oppressed man who was mute was brought to him. And when the demon had been cast out, the mute man spoke. And the crowds marveled, saying, never was anything like this seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he casts out demons by the prince of demons. This was the reading of God's word. Amen. Are you a Christian who spreads Jesus' fame? Are you a Christian who spreads Jesus' fame? There's a song that I used to sing as a youth student, and the song went something like this. I'm not going to sing it. It's kind of fun, but I'm not going to sing it. The words go, if you try to hide God's love, if you keep it all locked up, then soon your love will start to fade because it was meant to be given away. You got to give it away. You got to give it away because you can't hide God's love inside. You got to give. Yeah, give it away. So are you spreading his fame or are you keeping his love all locked up inside of you? The main idea for today's message is spread his fame. Pretty simple. Spread his fame. And I wanted to make it a little bit easier for us to remember the three sub-points from it. So the main idea is spread his fame. And the three sub-points are spread. The second point is his. And the third point is fame. Right? Spread his fame. Spread, not keep. His, not yours, and fame. All right? So let's start with the first one. Spread, not keep. All right? In this passage, we kind of see this idea of his fame spreading throughout the earth. Well, not throughout the earth, but what does it say? It says, through all that district. And it didn't just say it once, but it actually said it twice. And so this idea is trying to be emphasized. What Matthew is trying to do is that he's emphasizing this idea that his fame was spreading through all that district. Now, we do see right away, for some of you guys that are sharp, oh, I know all of you guys are sharp, but it says, Jesus sternly warned them, see that no one knows about it, but despite what Jesus said, his fame spread, right? Now, there might be a little bit of a conflict in our hearts as we're thinking about this. Jesus said, don't spread it. But, Pastor, you're saying spread it? What's going on? Okay, well, after Jesus dies and rises again from the dead, he goes to his disciples and he tells his disciples, go and make disciples of all nations. Right? So the idea is to go and spread the gospel to all the nations, to go and spread it to everyone that you know. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but you will receive power. This is Jesus, after he resurrected from the dead, he's speaking to his disciples. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, to the end of the earth. So there's this idea that God wants us to spread his fame. God wants us to go to all the nations, and perhaps starting in our particular city here. You know, it says starting in Jerusalem, right? Starting in our particular city here, we want to make sure that we are spreading his fame. And especially in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it talks about this idea of be witnesses. Be witnesses. So I want to talk about this idea, how we can be witnesses and spread his fame. All right. So as we look back at our passage today in Matthew chapter 9, there is this idea of being witnesses. All right. Okay, let's think about this a little bit. What does it mean to be a witness? What it means to be a witness is that I witnessed something, and now I am telling about what I witnessed. I experienced something, and now I want to share with people what I experienced, what I saw, what I felt, right? And so that's the idea of being a witness. Me experiencing and knowing, witnessing myself, the way that God's truth has been active in my life, how God has been active in my life. Now I want to go and tell it to other people. So, let's think about what kinds of maybe truths or experiences that we may have experienced or felt, especially from the passage here. All right. So let's think about how Jesus met this one woman who was suffering from a discharge of blood. It says in verse 20, this woman was healed from something that was incurable. She was struggling with it for how many years? It says for 12 years. And then in another passage, it says that she spent all her money And she tried her best to try to find some kind of cure, but it seemed like it was an incurable disease. But she found healing from that. And so let's think about that. What in our lives have we found healing from? Maybe for some of us, when we received the gospel, when we received how Jesus Christ is working in our lives, we have received a type of healing, a deep healing that seemed incurable. Maybe a past hurt. Maybe something where you're like, this is something that I just cannot forgive. Or this is something that I just don't know if I can be healed from. But because of what Jesus Christ is doing in our lives, some of us, we've experienced that healing and we've been set free from that past hurt. And so a healing from an incurable disease is maybe something that some of us have experienced. In the next miracle, what we see is that, you know, there was this ruler, and what we find in another gospel is that the ruler was a ruler of a synagogue, and he had a daughter that ended up dying, and he went to Jesus and said, Jesus, can you heal my daughter? My daughter is dying, and she's dead now. And so Jesus went, and Jesus was able to heal her, to raise her from the dead. And so what kind of experience did she experience? Well, the idea is that it was a type of miracle that was impossible, which seemed impossible. And so for some of us, we might have gone through some kind of experience where it was an impossible life to be rescued from. It was something that we were experiencing in the past, and we're like, maybe other people were looking at us and we were thinking, this person will never change. It's impossible for this person. But then what we see in our lives today is that we have a life that's completely different from who we were back then. Right? And so maybe some of us have gone through that kind of experience where we've witnessed Christ work in our lives, where our lives are completely changed from what we were before. The third miracle that we see is where Jesus heals the two blind men. And I'm going to take this a little bit more figuratively, but then the guys, there are two men, their eyes were opened. And maybe for some of us, we were in a place before where we just didn't understand why people believed in Christianity. We just didn't understand why anyone would believe in this religion. But then God came and worked in our lives so that our eyes would be open to see the truth. And we're like, yes, this makes sense. I do want to put my trust in this. And perhaps for some of us, we've gone through that kind of experience. And the last healing that we see is of a demon-oppressed man who was mute. And the demon was cast out, and this man was able to speak. And for some of us, maybe we've experienced where in the past, we just felt like we couldn't speak about anything. And even though we were convicted about something, maybe we felt that this was important, but then we just didn't feel the strength or the ability, the power to be able to speak out what was true. But then after you've come to believe in Jesus Christ, you have the courage now. You have the confidence now. You're convinced that this is true, and you're able to open your mouth and speak the truth to people. Maybe for some of us, we've gone through this type of experience. The point is this. The point is that for each of these people, they've gone through some type of experience, and now the word about them, about Jesus, is now being spread through all that district. Why did they do that? Why do we speak out? Why do we want to be witnesses? Why do we need to spread his fame? Why would we want to? Well, in the first two miracles, where there was the healing of the lady that was bleeding for a very long time, and for the girl that was raised from the dead, people, when they saw these things, they were amazed by it. Why does anyone want to talk about anything? It's because they're just amazed by it. They're like, wow, this is incredible. Like when I watch, for me personally, when I watch something on YouTube where people are doing these magic tricks, and it's just amazing. I'm like amazed by it, and I want to share with my wife about it. Hey, look at this YouTube video. And my wife's like, oh, okay, yeah, that's great. That's great. And she's interested in other things, right? But I'm just like, I'm so amazed by it. Here, look. Isn't it amazing? Well, we share because we are amazed. We're amazed by what God has done in our lives. But not only that, if you think about in the next miracle with the two blind men, their eyes were opened. They were able to see now. And in verse 31, they were the ones that went out and spread his fame, even though Jesus said, don't do it. But they were the ones that went out and spread his fame. And so for them, perhaps, I mean, we're kind of guessing, but perhaps they were spreading the fame because they're so thankful of what Jesus did for them. They're just amazed and thankful that before they were blind, but now they're able to see. And so for us, as we think about the gospel and how God has been working in our lives, and perhaps some of us, we really experience this. We're so thankful for what Christ has done in our lives that we can't help but to want to go and share with people what he's done. And the other idea is this. The other two ideas that's not necessarily found in the passage, but what we find in other parts of the Bible, is that we want to spread his fame out of obedience. Jesus did say, go and make disciples. He did say, go and be my witnesses. And so we do want to spread his fame out of obedience to Christ. But not only that, we want to spread his fame because of love, our love for him. An example that I like to share a lot of times is about how I have an Apple product, and I would have never thought that I would get this Apple product. But when I was early on, right after I graduated and Apple started becoming popular, some of my friends became Apple evangelists. And they would tell me about how wonderful this Apple product was. They were so convinced by it, they're so amazed by it, they fell in love with it, that they wanted to spread it to everyone, even me. And eventually I ended up getting one too, right? I mean, it's not just with Apple products, but we do this all the time, right? Sometimes when we find out, like my son, he has this new game that he plays, and it's kind of my little way of helping with his education. It's a game where you have to solve math problems to beat the other guy, right? But he loves it. And every time I see him, he wants to talk about this game. And I'm like, okay, I don't understand what's going on in the game. I can see what problems you're getting right and wrong, but I don't know what's actually going on in the game. But he wants to tell me all the time about it, right? Sometimes, for some of us, we want to talk about the person that we're dating. We're just so like, wow, this person is the greatest. This person is so wonderful. And maybe some of us have experienced this when we were in our teenage years. Oh, this person is so wonderful, and you just want to keep talking and talking about this person, right? Or maybe for some of us, maybe something that's more relatable is like the newest movie that came out, the newest Avenger movie, right? Or for some of us, it's the newest restaurant that you visited, right? In fact, all of us here are witnesses of something constantly. All of us are evangelists of something constantly. And so we have to ask this question. The question is, whose fame are you spreading? What are you an evangelist for? What do you talk about most often? What is it that's on your heart most often? And that's where we come to our second point. His. Spread his fame, right? His. His, not yours. I want to go back to that verse in verse 29. It says, then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it done to you. And then in verse 30, it says, and their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, see that no one knows about it. But in verse 31, they still went out and spread the news. What's going on here? Why does Jesus tell them not to spread his fame? Well, let me first of all say that this is not necessarily the first time that Jesus says this. Some of you guys may remember in Matthew chapter 8, when we talked about how Jesus healed the leper, it says in Matthew chapter 8, verse 4, and Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone," right? He says that. "Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest." In that case, Jesus said, don't tell anyone, but only go to the priest and fulfill your duty, right? And then, not only is this the last time, in Matthew chapter 17, verse 9, it says, "And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, 'Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead.'" And so it's not just one time, it's not just one or two times, but it's a number of times, and you see it also in the other Gospels, in the other books where it talks about Jesus Christ, where Jesus actually tells the people, "Don't tell others." And here in our passage today, Jesus actually says, or it says, he sternly warned them. And I looked at different commentators, and it said, some people were like, he was really, really serious. Other people were saying, you know, he was really like almost angrily, like really warning them, "Don't tell anyone." Why would Jesus do this? Well, what we know from studies, from what scholars have studied, from what they've said, is that a lot of times, in this period of time, I should say, in this period of time, the Jews, they had a different idea of who the Messiah was, right? What's really interesting is that if you look at how the blind men, how they came to Jesus, what their words were was, "Have mercy on us." This is in verse 27. "Have mercy on us, Son of David." And this is the first time that anyone, except the writer of Matthew, anyone in the story is actually calling Jesus Son of David. Now, why is this important? It's because the Jews, they believed that the Messiah, the chosen one who would rescue the people of Israel, the chosen one would come from the line of David. And so when these blind men, they came to Jesus and they said, "Son of David," what they were saying was that you are the Messiah and we recognize you as the Messiah, the chosen one who's going to come and rescue us. But for the Jewish people, their idea of the Messiah was of a person that would come and conquer all the land, would defeat all their enemies, and Israel would be established as a kingdom once again. That's what they thought. But that's not what Jesus' mission was. And so if people believed in this idea, and they were spreading his fame that Jesus the conqueror has come now to free this nation, then they would be spreading the wrong kind of news to the people. They'll be spreading the wrong kind of news about Jesus. And so that's why Jesus was saying, "Don't spread it yet. You guys don't understand who I am just yet." So we need to spread his fame. That's something that we do know. But one thing that we need to be careful about is, what are we spreading about Jesus? Are we spreading his fame rightly? Or are we spreading something else that's not true about Jesus? So in verse 20, we see this woman who was suffering for a long time from the discharge of blood. And then this is what it says. In verse 21, this is her thinking. She said to herself, "If only I can touch his garment, I will be made well." And so some people, they take this idea and they say, if we were to find that piece of garment that Jesus wore, then we can just touch it and maybe we'll be healed. You know, maybe there are these magic charms out there. Maybe there are these things that we could find, like the Holy Grail that Jesus drank out of. These magic charms. If we can find these things, and the Catholic Church has a lot of these things, the nails from Jesus, his cloth that he was buried with. If we could just find these things, then maybe these will be the things that heal us. Rather than saying, it was Jesus who healed us. Right? For some of us, like, we don't do that, right? We don't go looking for these pieces of cloth of Jesus. We don't, you know. But what do we do? Sometimes, maybe for some of us, we may have a picture of Jesus on the wall in our house, right? Or in our car or wherever. And we look at that picture as if it has some type of ability or some type of power or something. I mean, we would never say it that way. But then some of us, maybe praying to that picture as if that picture has some type of power. But that's not true. And if you start talking to people about this, then you're spreading the wrong kind of fame. Or maybe for some of us, we have a cross that we have as a necklace or some type of ornament that looks like a cross on our bag or whatever. I have a cross necklace, right? And some of us, we think, oh no, if I lose this thing, then I don't have anything to protect me anymore. I need to find another cross real quick. Otherwise, I'm not going to be protected anymore. Some of us, we might have this kind of idea. And if that's you, then you're spreading the wrong kind of idea, the wrong kind of fame. All right? Second thing, we see how the girl was raised from the dead. And some people will take this idea and will say, look, Jesus is able to raise people from the dead, which he is able to. And then people begin to say, and that's why God wants to heal you right now. So in this moment, if you are sick or in pain, then just reach out to the Lord and just say, God, I believe in your promise that you will give me health and God will heal you. Some people preach it like this. But does that happen? No. I mean, sometimes if God shows his mercy and his grace, and there are times that God does do a miracle. But that's not the norm. That's not normal. God doesn't give us that promise that in the moment right now that you will be healed from every disease. That's not true. And if that's what you're telling people, then that's false. That's not the right kind of fame that Jesus is wanting to have. There are churches out there that we would call the prosperity gospel churches that talk about how God will grant you all the health and all the wealth. But again, that's not true. And the kind of gospel that they're preaching is a false gospel. It's not right. Now, we're here, and we're not in a prosperity gospel church. And so we're thinking, okay, we don't do that. We don't necessarily do that. But maybe for some of us, when we pray to God, and we're asking for him to answer our prayer, it might be about healing or something like that, right? And God doesn't answer our prayer. How do we react? Is our reaction a, well, I still trust God and I know that his will would be done? Is it this? Or is it, God, you're not answering my prayer. Do you even exist? God, you're not answering my prayer. Do you even care about me? God, you're not answering my prayer. I'm getting really upset about this. Why aren't you hearing my prayer? God, are you even there? And some of us may be on this side. If you're on this side, then perhaps you're believing in the wrong kind of gospel or fame about who Jesus is. You're believing the wrong idea and you're becoming upset and angry and all these things because of expectations that aren't true. How about the idea of death? And I know this is a sensitive subject, But for some of us, we're facing death. For some of us, we have relatives that are facing death. And if you are a Christian and you're thinking about death, it should actually be something that we look forward to. Why? Because when we die, we get to leave this world with all of our struggles and sin and everything, and we get to be with our Lord Jesus. Right? But then, if we have the idea that we're fearful of death, or we're scared of death, we're so saddened by death, then we're believing in the wrong kind of gospel again. We're believing in the wrong ideas of what Jesus is about and how he's affecting our lives. Because as Christians, what the Bible tells us is that one day all of our bodies will be resurrected and we will be with Jesus one day in heaven. And so death is not something that we have to fear. Actually, it's something that we could look forward to. Even Paul says, he says, you know, I would rather die and be with my Lord, but for your sakes, I'm still staying here so that I could continue to share with you about the gospel. Right? So again, what kind of fame are you spreading? Are you spreading your idea of who Jesus is, or are you spreading his idea of who he is? Again, with the two blind men, Jesus sternly warned them. They're like, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And Jesus said, "Don't tell anyone, because I know that you have the wrong idea of who I am." But they went out spreading his fame. What kind of fame would they have spread? They would have spread something different about who Jesus was. Jesus is the one who can heal us. He is the great conqueror. He is here right now. He's the Messiah and he will free us. Right? And so they're going around spreading, "Hey, Jesus is here. The Messiah is here. Just go to Jesus and he will heal your sickness like how he healed our blindness." Right? And for some of us, we may not do that. We may not think that we're spreading the wrong idea of who Jesus was as the Messiah. But then for some of us, again, when we pray, we think of God as some type of vending machine. Only if I pray to him and I look to him, then he'll give me what I want. Right? If I just pray to God, then he will give me what I want. But if we think in this way, we're thinking about Jesus in a different way. We're not saying Jesus is God. We're actually saying Jesus is my servant and I just need to go to him and he's going to give me what I want. And what we're saying is, I am God. So will God do my will? Or will I submit to his will? Will I be satisfied and content with whatever God does bring my way? Will I still choose to be joyful, knowing that God is still in control and working for my good? Will I submit to him? Or will I fight to try to have God submit to me? And another thing is that at the very end, what we see is that a demon-oppressed man was healed. He was able to speak. And people were talking about Jesus, and they're like, you know, nothing has ever been seen in Israel like this. But there were the Pharisees. What did the Pharisees say? "He casts out demons by the prince of demons." Right? So why did the Pharisees say this? Well, if you look in other parts of the Gospels, what we see is that the Pharisees, they had this idea that, you know, if you really were the Messiah, then you wouldn't be doing some of the things you're doing. It just doesn't make sense. Actually, you're going against all of our rules. And you're blaspheming. Now, how can you say that you forgive sins? And what the Pharisees did was that they had their idea of right and wrong, and they were not submitting to Jesus' ideas of what is right and wrong. And perhaps this one is a little bit more relatable to a lot of us here. We need to think through this idea of, am I submitting myself, everything that I understand to be good, what's proper, the way that God works, the way that God loves, am I submitting all of these ideas according to what the Bible says? Or am I thinking in my own ways, thinking my own idea of what is good, what is right, what is loving? And based on that, I'm making a judgment about God. How do I live my life? Am I like the Pharisees, thinking that I have what's right and wrong and judging everything else according to my idea of right and wrong? Or am I being humble and changing, allowing my ideas to change according to what the Bible actually says? Jesus warns sternly, don't spread the wrong kind of fame. Now, it's not just about what we say, but it becomes even more difficult if we take into account that we spread his fame not only by what we say, but also through how we act, how we are in our daily lives, in your workplaces, with your children, with your parents, with your spouses. How you live your life is also a testimony of who God is. Now, I want to ask one more time, whose fame are you spreading through your lives? If you're like me, my honest answer would be, again, even as a pastor, my honest answer would be that a lot of times I'm spreading my own fame, my own ideas of what's right and wrong. And there are days that I really try to spread Jesus' fame, honestly, and I'm trying to do it well. But if I look at the majority of my life, the kind of fame that I'm spreading is not Jesus' fame, but my own fame. So what do we do? How do we spread his fame rightly? Well, as I was studying through this passage, a passage came to my mind. And we don't have time to go through the whole chapter because there are like tons of verses, over 40 verses in this chapter. But if you were to look in Ezekiel chapter 20, what God says over and over and over again is this. This is the basic theme of Ezekiel chapter 20. It goes through this cycle multiple times. This is what God says. God says, look, I chose you to be my people. I love you. You are my people. And I gave you my laws so that you would live and do the things according to my ways. Do the right things. I gave you these laws and it's because I love you. And I want to have a relationship with you, but my people continue to become rebellious. My people continue to turn away. And I will not let my name be defamed. I will not allow my name to be defamed. I will work for my name's sake. And he goes on, he says, and so I rescued my people. I didn't deal with them in anger. I rescued my people, and I wanted them to live according to my ways. And I'm working to draw them back to me. And I gave them my laws, and I reminded them. I sent them my prophets. But then my people again rebelled against me. And I will work not to have my name defamed. I will not act in a way to completely destroy my people. I will have mercy on them. And so I gave them, I drew them back to me, and I rescued them, and I gave them my laws, and I reminded them again. And they again rebelled against me. You guys see a pattern? And God says, I will not let my name be defamed. I will work for my glory. And there's a passage in Isaiah chapter 48 that says this. Isaiah chapter 48, it says, for my own name's sake, I delay my wrath. For the sake of my praise, I hold it back from you so as not to cut you off. See, I have refined you, though not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, for my own sake, I do this. How can I let myself be defamed? I will not yield my glory to another. Listen to me, O Jacob, Israel, whom I have called. I am He. I am the first and I am the last. And just by those words, if you've read through the book of Revelation, you know that the person that's speaking here is Jesus. Jesus says Himself, I am the first and I am the last. Jesus says, if I were to sum all that up in Ezekiel and Isaiah, what Jesus is saying is, I am working to spread my fame. I will do it. My people, I know that you are trying, and I command you to go and do it rightly. But I know you fail. But take heart. Take heart. I am in control. I will spread my fame for my glory, for my name's sake. And so God gives us the Holy Spirit. And God will accomplish His work through us. We just need to be available. And in our own eyes, we may fail. But God says, I will do my work through you. He will do it. And so the question, again, is how do we spread His fame rightly? Well, the simple answer is this. Point to Jesus. Point to who He is. Point to what He's done in our life. And instead of talking about how my life is so great now and I'm so wonderful, I'm such a good person now, instead of talking about all these things, talk about how we constantly fail to follow Jesus. But even though we fail, we have a Savior that will never fail. Even though we come short and fall short of His glory, but we have a faithful Father who continues to do His work through us. And so we could be at ease. We don't have to stress whether or not we're spreading His fame rightly or not. We just need to believe. And in this passage, not only is it stressing this idea of spreading His fame in the right way, but it's also stressing this idea that it's by our faith that we're able to have this relationship with Jesus Christ. This is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians. He says, but He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. This is what Jesus said to Paul. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Let's look to Jesus and let's point to Jesus. Let's pray together. Take a moment at this time to go before the Lord in prayer and reflection about what you just heard. The idea of spreading, not keeping, His, not yours, spreading His fame. Take a time to pray, and whatever God is placing on your heart, again, maybe some of us here, we need to take a time to confess that we haven't been spreading His fame, but we've been spreading our own fame. Some of us, we need to say, Lord, we believe in You. I believe in You that You will do the work through me. So give me the confidence all the more that You will do it through me. Some of us, we need to pray that way. Whatever God is placing on your heart, take a moment to pray, just a few moments, and then we'll continue with a song in response.